Hi there, I'm Charlene Ramstead, and I've been asked to share this for a few minutes this morning about a ministry that I've been involved with for several decades, actually. I am so excited about the Word of God, and here's why. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I am so increasingly just in awe of the Word of God. It has the power to convict. It softens the hardest hearts. It brings hope, knowing that there's no condemnation in those that have committed their sins and put it under the blood of Christ. It sets captives free. And it's been such a privilege to be part of Child Evangelism Fellowship, whose ministry is to share the gospel in whatever way they can, but targeting children often. When I was 14, and then again when I was 16, I was a child evangelism worker. I taught 5-day clubs. And that was an incredible life-changing experience for me. I took the training, and then I headed out to teach these 5-day clubs. And you begin to fall in love very quickly with these little boys and girls that come into your club for 1 hour a day for 5 days a week. Very quickly, you gather how broken these little individuals are, and you start to share God's truth the best you know how. But as the Word of God is spoken, those little dry, crusty sponges of souls, in a way, that have been hardened by sin and the world's cruel message to them, when the living Word is poured out over these little sponges, they start to absorb the truth, and you can see it in their face. They're in awe. They just are captivated, and they begin to change. You begin to change form in such a way that they begin to come into their real purpose in life as they receive the truth and let it work in their lives to change them. I remember praying specifically, you know, on Wednesday, and you start to see the end of the week in view, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I hope these ones that are so and soaking up this truth, that they will act in obedience, have the courage to come forward and receive Christ as their Savior. Often they do, sometimes they don't. But the one encouraging thing is that Child Evangelism Fellowship partners with called the Mailbox Club. And that is, every child that comes to a 5-day club, even on the very first day, is given a Bible lesson to do. They're encouraged to take this home, read the story, which maybe has something to do with real life, and then how they teach the Bible's truths through real life experiences. They turn to the back page, answer the questions, and bring this question page back to the 5-day club. Turn it in, and their teacher will give them another lesson to do. If those kids don't get their lessons done all that week, and regardless, we start writing those kids. Their address is written on there. I get those lessons into my office, and I'm able to start corresponding with these kids, and it has been so exciting. These kids, so many of them are coming from unchurched homes, non-Christian homes. Some are Christian for sure, but some of these small communities don't even have a church in their near community. They can't even go to church. Some kids write to me and say, I would like to go to church. There's no church near me, or my parents won't take me. And this is amazing. I'm in awe that parents allow this mail to come to their home. And the kids do them. They send it back. The parents are paying for the stamps, I'm assuming. We correspond for years. Many of these, 4 years. I'm talking like sometimes 10 years of mentorship through these through this ministry. So many, as I'm corresponding with these kids, and I hear at the bottom of their lessons so often, not every lesson, but most lessons, they say, "Have you ever received Christ?" Some say, "Yes, I did. I received Christ on my back step after a 5-day club." And, or, "I received Christ at home in my bed one night," or I receive Christ. One said, I receive Christ listening to my sister's mailbox club lessons, which I thought was a first. Usually it's their own experience, but he's actually listening to it and receive Christ through that. These kids are all coming from unique situations. Some are being raised by their grandparents. Some have their father in jail. Some are immigrants and new to Canada and are trying to find where they fit in this new life. Teenagers are often writing to me talking about the bullying situations, the fears they struggle with, have hopes and dreams for their life, but are constantly being told they're a failure or that they're not good enough. One child wrote to me and said, I'd like to thank you for the lessons that you've given to me. If not for these lessons, I'd be traveling down the wrong path. With these lessons, you've opened a new life for me. I would like to thank you for all that. May the Lord that saved my life bless you in return for preaching the gospel to people like me. I would also like to inform you that I've decided to stop swearing and watching bad TV shows and movies. I would also like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to give my life to Christ without the pressure of everyone around me. Once again, I thank you with all my heart. And that's from a 14-year-old. And I'm thinking, wow, I just looked in my book to see how many lessons have come in since January. It's been over 11,000 lessons that have come into my office. And we're living in a day that it's hard to get kids to read a book. They're on their phones, they're on their games, all that kind of stuff. What is it that makes this little paper lesson so exciting? I can only attribute that to the healing message of God's word. How kids recognize its truth. It's exactly what they're wondering about, and it's God's answer for their life. And so they're hungry. It creates a thirst in them. Another child wrote, it's so much easier to talk to you about God and the questions I have about him. My family don't give me answers about him. If I ask, they'll just say, don't bother me. We have teen lessons talking about the boundaries that we should have as under God's standards for dating. And one child wrote, these lessons about love and marriage and dating is the stuff I really wanted to know about. Thank you so much for these sets of lessons. You know, now in the school systems, they're promoting sex education and stuff, not abstinence. And so to tell kids that this is God's choice, this is God's best way, this is a completely new thought. But they're relieved. Can you believe it? I have gotten that over and over, that they are relieved that this is God's choice for them, and they seem excited about that message. Another girl wrote to me just this week, actually. She wrote me telling me that she just accepted a Bible from someone that basically from a religion that would go door to door in your neighborhood. They use a different Bible than we do, but she accepted the Bible. And then after at her letter, she says, I've realized we all pray to the same God here. I have no more concerns on this part. I had big concerns when she wrote that. So I did a little bit of research about what the difference is between religion and an evangelical message. I was able to give her some scripture references on the significant major differences that they are putting their faith in. And so it's just been a privilege to have this relationship with so many of these students. So far in 2015, we've talked or are dealing with 2,000 different individuals that I'm corresponding with. Of course, I don't write to every single person handwritten letters, but I do pray that the Holy Spirit prompts me to who I am supposed to write a note to, and I do pray for certain ones in regards to their situations. One time I just wrote, you did a great job on your lessons, way to go. And a few weeks later, I got a phone call from the office saying, there's a man on the phone, he would like to talk to you. He said you sent letters to his daughter. So I phoned him. And he says, hi, yeah, you wrote my daughter. You told her that she did a great job on her lessons. And she has a learning disability, so she doesn't hear much positive feedback in her life. Right now, she's discouraged and won't get out of bed for her school this morning. And I was wondering whether you would talk to her. And I'm, okay, you know, obviously this is God's assignment today. So I'm talking to this girl, you know, who's still in bed, won't obey her parents. Her parents cannot get her out of bed. And she says, yeah, she does this. And then the dad says, well, I'm bipolar, and her mother is severely depressed. She can't function with things. So this is, I'm calling you. Well, after about an hour of talking with this girl, I said, you know, well, I mean, the conversation lasted an hour, but I said, you know, we can't operate just by what we feel like. Do you have the lessons, you know, where we talk about God and stuff? Oh, right by her bed, this girl had them. And I said, you know, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life? Do you know what that is, accepting him? Anyway, in that conversation, we were able to pray together. She received Christ. But whatever situation, I marvel in today's society. 20 years ago, when I started doing the correspondence, it was mostly letter writing. Now it's become texts and phone calls. And they come and see me, actually, in my home. They sometimes stay the night with their family and stuff like that. I say, if you're ever in Regina, give me a call. But I want you to be encouraged, because this month of October has so encouraged me to hear about all the other ministries in Regina working together. We're sandwiching people with the Word of God. And His Holy Spirit that comes into people's lives when they say yes to God, and they want that. That Holy Spirit starts ministering. He's their counselor. He says, yes, this is true, and they recognize it, and they work in obedience there. But I just want you to know, I play a very small role, but the Word of God is taught in power, in truth, is not watered down in any of the lessons that we give out. And I want you to have confidence in that, that is where we place our confidence, is in the Word of God, that it alone can change lives. And as God seeks to use me and speak with these ones, I pray that you would, if you think about it, pray for me for wisdom and how to speak truth to these kids. Thank you for Faith Baptist Church that has partnered with Child Evangelism Fellowship for years in financial support and helping us with our banquets and just in the ministry, even in, there's many key players here also today. So anyway, thank you for sharing, or letting me share my excitement about this ministry. Thank you.
I thought she was going to follow me all the way up here. It's the 25th of October. Can you believe that? Wow, this month has just flown by, and it's been a great month in which we've had our missions committee presenting local ministries, and I just want to say thank you to our missions committee. What a wonderful job they've done this month, and I just can't say enough about what a great job they've done. And this ministry fair we did during Sunday school hour, if you weren't here and you missed that, I'm sorry for you. It was a great time. You got to see all many, many different ministries that are functioning here in Regina, getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out into our community. And so it's been an exciting month. And today we come to the place of having a Child Evangelism Fellowship with us to share. And we're going to ask Brother Jerry Durston if he'd come forward. And he's going to present the Ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. Jerry's not someone that probably needs much of an introduction. I think most all of you probably know him. He's been involved with, our faith has been involved or supporting of Child Evangelism for many, many years. And we do every year, we host their, was it fall banquet? Yeah. Spring banquet. Yeah. When do we do that?
Spring banquet, still snow.
Yeah, okay, still snow. So anyway, it's I'm excited to have them here. Child Evangelism Fellowship is one of those ministries that I can wholeheartedly stand behind. You know, my office, I get all kinds of requests for different ministries, programs out there wanting us to support them, and so many of them have lost their focus. Their focus has gone to, you know, more of meeting the physical needs. And we need to meet physical needs, don't misunderstand me. But if we meet physical needs, If we feed them, if we clothe them, if we provide them with shelter and water, and we don't give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and meet their greatest need, then we've failed in our mission. We've failed to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's the one thing I really appreciate about CEF is that they have continued over the years to keep the main thing the main thing. They focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, introducing children across our province and our nation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's something I can wholeheartedly support. And so I'm excited to have Jerry here. I'd like to pray for you, brother, as you come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Child Evangelism Fellowship and for the ministry they've had for so many years. We thank you for their faithfulness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless Jerry now as he comes. Speak through him. Pray, Lord, that you give him power and authority in the words that he shares, and that your Holy Spirit would use his words to touch our hearts here this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well, it is certainly good to be back here. Faith Baptist goes back a long way. I was thinking actually this morning between services, I used to hang out with guys from Faith Baptist like Harold Archer and Bruce Jantz. So you'd have to be, a lot of you wouldn't know them. We were teenagers then. You actually knew us by the cars we drove. I drove a blue Dodge Charger. Bruce drove a Spider Monza, and Harold Archer had refurbished an old GM Halfton. And back in those days, young people were known by what vehicle you drove and how many times you went up and down Albert Street, which seems absolutely ludicrous now that we would have done that. But it is really good to be here. Not very many brothers have the opportunity to work with their sisters. I don't know. It's probably a bit of an anomaly that I have that blessing. But as you have heard from Charlene, you have caught her heart and her part in this ministry. And Charlene has not really changed at all over 20 years. She looks the same. I haven't really changed at all either. I have put in a bit of highlights in my hair to look a little more mature, and I actually have them thin things out on top, so I look more my age. But time goes by, and I even remember being here with my family before I was ever married, as we traveled and sang kind of across the province and everywhere else. But it is very good to be here, and we are so thankful for Faith Baptist and how you've partnered with this ministry for decades. Carl Hollerbaum, some of you who have been around long enough remember Carl and Martha Hollerbaum. They were our treasures with Child Evangelism Fellowship for many years, back in the 60s, up into the 70s. Carl Hollerbaum helped me fix my car, my first car. Patty Dillstone is now our treasure. She's part of your church family. And John Tykrib was the chairman of our board for a number of years. So we have very a close relationship here at Faith, and we so appreciate your prayers and financial support. It is a blessing to be here this morning. Often when I, in clubs, I think of this verse, John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." That is a very interesting verse. There's a lot there. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." When I work with children, and especially when I'm right in the clubs with them, I am truly amazed. We've got children coming from broken homes in all kinds of situations. But when those kids give their life to Christ, have their sins forgiven, it's not like they have to go now before some tribunal. Somebody's going to make a decision whether they're in or out. But this verse tells us that they have the right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They are now a child of God. They are part of God's family. And even though their family may be in tatters, God's family is a new family for them, and a family that gives them hope and encouragement. And it is exciting to be able to share that with the kids. Matthew 18:6 says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." That just, I was down at the CF headquarters in Warrenton a few years ago, and my wife and I were walking through the grounds, and over in the distance there was this, we didn't know what it was, and Sharon says, "I wonder what that is over there." And so we walked over there, and here it was a massive millstone. I mean, it was just huge. It would have needed probably some, I don't know, whether oxen or something kind of thing to turn it. And when you read this verse, I'm like, I'm a guy that can't swim, so I wouldn't fare too well. And I wouldn't need a millstone around my neck to do it to me. But this is how serious it is to God to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And in the ministry of CF, we want to bring them to Christ. But we also want to disciple them and help them grow. And you heard Charlene share. And I can't think of a better person than Charlene. You listen to her heart. She loves these kids. I still, about 20 years ago, we sent out Charlene's picture in one of the mailings so that the kids could see who they're writing. Even last spring, I still had somebody coming to me and say, "I've got her picture." Unbelievable. But they've been corresponding, and as you listen to Charlene share, you realize the impact that she's having as she corresponds back and forth. They asked me this morning if I would share, give you kind of an overview of the many different aspects of ministry that that child evangelism is involved in. One of those that is a very major ministry is the five-day club ministry that happens during the months of July and August. And it is an exciting ministry. This past summer, we had 7,170 children come to the five-day clubs. We partnered with about 79 different churches. There was 633 children accept Jesus Christ as their Savior in the space of about 6 weeks after our 2 weeks training. That's about 100 children more than the previous summer, and probably about as high a response that we've ever had. What absolutely amazes me is that the non-Christian world, who about almost 50% of these children tell us they don't go to church or Sunday school, and yet their parents allow them to go to this club that's down the street or around the corner or over in a park or somewhere, and they're allowed to go and hear the gospel. I marvel. In this day and age, I mean, how many of you as parents are just going, "Well, so-and-so invited me, I'm going"? We often have to tell the kids, "You better go and tell your mom where you are, so she knows." And it is amazing that we can still have that opportunity. And it seems like we're almost going countercultural. And even as Charlene said, why would kids read these lessons, answer the questions, and mail them in a day of email, text, and phoning? It's bizarre. And yet they do. And yet they come. And it is exciting. In Regina, there was, I think, 64 clubs and 699 children in this city. And that doesn't even count the bedroom communities. There was probably 1,000 kids just in this immediate area that came to the five-day clubs. And there's a brochure on the table out there. If you want to pick one up, you can. It'll give you all the communities we were in. In total, we were in 230 communities across Alberta and Saskatchewan. 60 of those communities we weren't in the summer before. We were in 25 reserves. This summer. Several of them new. It is amazing that we can get on these reserves. I feel like the reserves are almost like a basket of eggs. I never know if we're going to get on for sure or not until we actually get there and our workers get there and we kind of walk through the doors. And it is amazing. But if we are allowed to come, the children come. I think the largest reserve club was up Shoal Lake and Red Earth. We had something over 200 kids on these reserves in 1 week. Amazing. Many, many children this year on reserves came to Christ. Just, I think there was more kids make decisions on reserves this year than any summer before. But we have been faithfully seeking to go back, and we are so thankful for those opportunities. You might wonder how you can get involved. Well, you know, one of the ways you can get involved is by hosting a five-day club. I don't know. I know there's been many families here who have hosted five-day clubs over the years. But, you know, one of the hardest things, and you can't believe it, if I were to ask you, you know, would you be willing to have a club in your backyard, open up your club, and allow the children on your street to come and hear about Jesus? Would you be willing to do that? Now, I think our immediate response to that question would be that we would think, yes, well, I think everybody would be willing to do that. You would not believe how many phone calls it takes to get a five-day club. And we're not phoning the world. We're phoning Christian families, wondering if they would open up. Now, you know, it's like, well, my schedule doesn't really work this year. We have a wedding. We had a funeral. You know, the dog died, or, you know, our yard's not good enough, or our yard's too good. We don't have a yard. We only have a driveway. You know, in comparison, I had one mom I phoned up. We needed a billet, and I had actually sent the worker to Alberta. I says, "You go. I'll let you know where the billet is." We were still working it out. I says, I was working it, and they were halfway there. And I phoned, and I says, "You know," I says, "I don't know what to do." The lady I talked to, she says, "Well, I'll give you the name of another lady." I phoned that lady up, and she says, "Well, we would certainly be willing to take her in. We do have another family staying with us this week. And just so you know, there's like going to be, you know, two dads, because the wife of the other family had passed away or something. And there's going to be two dads and about eight kids." And that was enough reason for anybody else to say no. And yet she says, "Absolutely, we'll make room." That lady actually ended up keeping that worker for 2 weeks. Truly amazing. And there are people, and they're across Saskatchewan and Alberta. There was actually 467 families and churches that opened their doors, making it possible for boys and girls to come. Many of the communities we're in don't even have a church. And yet there might be a Christian family there who says, "You know what? We'd like to reach the boys and girls in our community." But if you're here today, and you know what, I would encourage you. Thomas and Lori Bobie are here in the first service. They are, we call them coordinators. We have them all over Alberta and Saskatchewan in local communities trying to help us find five-day clubs. And if you're here this morning and you say, "You know what, I would consider opening up our home." You say, "Well, what do you got to do?" "Well, we need a $500 down deposit." And we, no. All we need is for you to say yes. We send the workers in, we'll send you the advertising, we'll send you the poster. All we ask is that you be home. If you would be willing to open your home for this coming summer, like 64 clubs in a city this size, we've only begun. If you would open up your home so the boys and girls on your street could hear about Jesus, would you be willing to do that? There's a little brochure, very simple. It explains how you could do that. Locating clubs like Thomas and Laurie. Maybe you're here and you say, "You know what, I'd help you find clubs." We need people that are, like I say, coordinators that are helping us find clubs. And you know, if you think Thomas and Laurie can handle the city, and we have other people in other churches that are helping us find clubs, but the more the merrier. And wouldn't it be awesome if the city of Regina had 100 clubs or 150 or 200 clubs? If you got a city of Regina map and you put, you know, 64 dots on the map, we are not nearly everywhere we should be. And that would be a way you could get involved. You might be here as a young person, and you might say, "Well, who teaches these clubs?" Well, they're young people, and just like the young people of this church, Andrew Ramstead taught clubs last year, Dallas Barber's taught clubs, and different ones over the years. And you might be interested in teaching clubs. I have some applications out there at the table, and if you'd be interested, you could contact me about teaching five-day clubs. We have 2 weeks of training, the first 2 weeks of July, and then we send them out. You know, the thing that is absolutely amazing is we hear from churches and pastors and even five-day club hostesses absolutely amazed at the kind of young people that go out. I remember phoning a church a few years ago up in northern Saskatchewan. I says, "You know, we're still looking for a few more workers. Would you have any in your church that you know about?" And you know what they said to me? They says, "I've seen the kind of young people you send. We don't have those kind of young people in our church. Amazing. And yet I believe the ministry that we're called to is not just to the children, but actually to these young people, and to see them grow and develop and have a burden for the lost, and create in them that heartbeat that the generation before mine, you didn't have to ask that generation to show up. They were there. I don't know where my generation is, and my generation are now grandpa and grandmas. What about this next generation that's following mine? How many of that generation has a burden for the lost? The generation before mine was probably one of the greatest generations in our country in their desire to reach the lost. Briarcrest and Prairie and Bible schools started up. We were known as the Bible Belt. There was a Bible school start up every year in Alberta and Saskatchewan. For a period of 20 years, at least one Bible school opened up every year for 20 years. And we have lost it. We need to raise up a generation that have hearts that desire to please God. And we have to be committed to reaching that generation and not to give up, that our country could come back and be the country that it once was. One family who sent in a note the other day, they said, "We just finished the 5-day club. We rejoice in God what He has done through CEF and the wonderful ministry. Felicia Ooster presented the Bible lesson so well, and we thank her very much for her devotion to the children and everyone." We get comments like this. They're just like amazed at these young people. I remember a couple years ago, Andrew's brother, Austin, he was teaching. There was a pastor sitting in on his club, totally amazed that this young fella could conduct a 5-day club like this. And he's teaching and speaking without even notes. Amazing. Somebody else wrote in just a week ago. They said, "Greetings to you all at CF. Wow, just to think, 633 children were saved this last summer. This is exciting. 10 more summers like that would mean 6,330 children coming to Christ, not attending, coming to Christ. Now we must pray for them that they grow in their faith." And that's really what we seek to do with the ministry that Charlene shared with you, to keep corresponding with them. We've had kind of an amazing thing in a relationship with Canada Summer Jobs. I don't know why. Somehow it's developed and grown. We actually were approved for 44 government grants to hire Christian young people to go out and reach boys and girls for Jesus Christ. That's crazy. Our federal government providing... I just looked at the finances. We had our board meeting yesterday. I think there was... $79,000 in Saskatchewan that we received from the federal government to hire Christian young people to go out and reach boys and girls for Jesus Christ. That's a crazy country. Unbelievable. And yet this summer, I had to tell, not in Saskatchewan, but in Alberta, I actually had to tell the Canada Summer Jobs Program, I can't find Christian young people. The money is there to pay these young people. I can't find young people that will give their summer to reach boys and girls for Jesus Christ. I didn't tell them that. But we need young people. For the first time this past summer, we had 4 young people who had their applications. They were returning workers, they were post-secondary, and for one reason or another, just before the summer started, they contacted me and they said, something else has come up, or I don't feel I can do this, and they backed out. And for the first time, I think I really realized where it says, "Pray for the laborers for the harvest. The fields are white unto harvest." And I wonder, like, when laborers don't show up, does it make a difference? And I'm telling you this morning, it makes a difference. I believe there was probably 1,000 to 1,200 children that did not hear the gospel this summer because 4 young people ended up doing something else. And that's just the harsh reality of it. But that being said, we were in 230 communities. 60 of those communities we weren't in the summer before. And it is exciting. But you know, I could share with you some of the response from these young people. It is amazing. I've told you that our ministry, we believe, is as much to these young people as it is to the children. Cecily, a Chinese gal, she taught for her third summer, but this year she decided that she would, and I'll read what she says. I came to training for the second week right after I resigned from my job. It's a big decision in my life, and probably this decision will change my life direction. Even right now, I cannot see the next step. But I trust God will do something amazing this summer. And He has a good plan for all of us, because God is good, and He will keep and be faithful from the beginning to the end. Cecily came from China. She's taught with us for three summers. She quit her job and came and taught five-day clubs. We actually sent her up north. Cecily, this fall, went to Bible school. She's at Eston. In the scope of things, she's relatively a new Christian. But God is transforming her and using her for His honor and glory. Another one of our workers, a young man, his name was Darren Getz. His grandpa is actually Bill Gates. You maybe heard of him. Not the billionaire. This one day I got out of the water and the kids asked me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah, I am." Then he pointed all the bad kids and talked about them, how they swear and smoke and do all kinds of bad things. At this point, I was reminded that Jesus said that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I told him that's why I'm here, to tell the bad kids about Jesus. The Lord is so good, and He did all the work. Lots of times the kids wouldn't really listen, but 12 kids came to the Lord this week. All the tough situations that I went through this week were worth it all for the sake of these children knowing the Lord Jesus. It is not easy for these young people. They are out there, and as much as you can imagine, it is like going out on the mission field. To some of the things that they run into and circumstances and situations along the way, God is molding and making them into the young people that He wants them to be, but they are faithful to the cause. Another young lady, Tiara, she is First Nations herself, and it is awesome when these First Nations young people come and we can send them out. She went on to, I don't know how many reserves this summer we sent. And to be able to send a First Nation Christian young person onto a reserve to give the gospel to the First Nation people is powerful. Tara wrote about her week on Sweetgrass, Poundmaker, and Little Pine. These three reserves are up by North Battleford. Poundmaker was the most incredible club for me this week. Last year it seemed impossible to host a club here. We had almost no support from the reserve, and on the last 2 days we were locked out of the band hall. This year we had no hostess and the freedom to set up where we wanted. On the first day we had 7 kids right off the bat. By the second day we had 17. I was amazed as it I had been somewhat nervous about this club, seeing as we reached a grand total of 5 kids last year. We also reached 15 at Little Pine the first day, and we held club there. We had 10 decisions on the second day, 4 at Poundmaker and 6 on Little Pine. In total, there were 70 children at these clubs in 1 week. It is so exciting to have this opportunity to go on to the reserves across Saskatchewan and Alberta. And I still, to this day, I can't believe that God has opened up these doors for us, but He has. Another area of ministry that you could be involved with is praying for this ministry. And I know many of you have prayed for this ministry. A lady up in Saskatoon, Vanjie Manchinsky, has actually gotten into creating the prayer band, which connects these young people with a Christian grandparent that prays for them every day, follows their ministry all summer long, and they are back and forth through either email, technology, blogs, and so these Christian grandparents, see, they're almost like they're out there themselves. It is truly amazing, and to see the bond that builds between these young people and these Christian grandparents is amazing. And Vanjie has added in email. So now we've got people right across Canada praying for these young people that have heard about this opportunity to pray for them and have joined this prayer band team and actually have an assigned a Christian young person to pray for with the summer and follow their ministry. And you could be involved in that. As fall hits, it gets to be a crazy time for me. Last weekend, I left at about 6:30 in the morning to Edmonton for a children's conference. By the time I got there, I had to be set up by 4. I got there by 3. I had our display set up and ready to go. I spent about a couple hours there talking and meeting with people. By 6:30, I had a club DJ workshop with a Filipino church about 20 minutes away in Edmonton, so I did that. And then I came back to the children's conference, finished that up probably by 10. The next morning was the children's conference, and by about 3:30, it wrapped up, and my wife and I headed back, and we were back in Regina that night on Saturday. And it was just a crazy weekend. This weekend, I was here Saturday morning for the breakfast, and then we had a board meeting from 11 till about 4:30. We kind of worked through lunch, and then I had missions conference in last night in Weyburn and back here this morning. And, you know, it's just a time. Harvest time is not a time to go take too many naps. You ever notice that about harvest time? Any farmers here know you, when it's time to bring in the crop, it's time to bring in the crop. And that's kind of the way it has been with ministry the last while. So in the fall, we've kicked out Club DJ, and it is exciting what is happening there. We have almost now 1,000 kids already in the base of this first month that are in Club DJs in churches all across from BC to Manitoba and even down into the States in Washington. And it is exciting to watch these kids willing to come. And they're coming from all around the world. Our Club DJ in our own church, it looks like the United Nations there. If you're a white kid showing up in our Club DJ, you think you maybe came in the wrong door. We have Chinese and African and First Nations and just everything you can imagine. We had a missionary from Wycliffe come to talk to the kids one night last year, and you know, he thought he'd ask the kids if any of the kids knew another language. That was interesting. I was shocked. They said, what languages do you know? Well, Russian, Spanish, Chinese, French, Arabic, Korean. I'm like, wow. Amazing. The mission is right here. And we have an opportunity to reach these boys and girls from around the globe. And it is exciting. Somebody asked me one time, do you teach the children you reach to lead people to Christ? I don't know if anybody's ever asked you. I don't know if you've thought about that with your kids in your church. Are we teaching them to lead people to Christ? That was an interesting question. But as I thought about it, I thought, yeah, actually I guess we do. Indirectly, yes. And I remember, and I think back, there was a First Nations gal, her name was Kaheo. She was coming to Club DJ. And then she, all of a sudden, one day she asked me, she says, can boys come to this club? And we said, yeah, absolutely. And she says, well, then I'm going to invite my brother. So then her brother came. And anyway, they were doing these same lessons that are in their Club DJ book. And Kaheo's brother, wrote on his lesson, when asked, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes. When Kaheo and I were playing Sunday school at home, Kaheo led me to Christ. Truly amazing. And we have seen kids from clubs invite their friends and lead their friend to Christ. It's amazing. But how do they know? They know how they came to Christ. It's not that complicated. We use the five finger facts with the kids. It's an amazing opportunity. And we are excited about each opportunity to reach into the kids' lives. And our Club DJs, there's a little motto that are in Club DJ, hearts that desire to please God. It's on every student book and it's on a lot of other things. You know, for the life of me, I can't figure out what's happened to our nation. But I am convinced that we need to raise up a generation that has hearts that desire to please God. This country just elected a liberal prime minister, which I can hardly believe, who you couldn't even run for him unless you were pro-killing babies. You couldn't even be on one of his running mates. What kind of country have we become? We used to be the Bible Belt, for crying out loud. And not only was that his standpoint, but he got in. And it is a reflection of the heart of the people of this nation. It is shocking. And we need to be fervently reaching this next generation and teaching them about the ways of God, pointing them to God's Word. What's God's Word have to say about the sanctity of life? And someday, I trust, that there will be a generation who will grow up and they will ask the question, who made these laws? Who in the world said that this was legal? It violates God's Word. And we're changing the law. We need a generation to be raised up. There isn't a chance when we were known as the Bible Belt that this would have happened. Not a chance. And yet we've allowed it to happen. We need to get serious. Another thing, that program that we just started up is called Quiz Meet. It's Bible quizzing. It's using the New King James Version, where it's an interdenominational quizzing program. Already we have 100 young people that are part of Quiz Meet in our first year. We expect this. We're already being contacted from churches all over the place wondering about getting involved. It is an exciting thing to see young people committed to memorizing God's Word. And if you wonder whether or not it makes a difference, in QuizMeet on our webpage it says it encourages young people to systematically memorize God's Word, as well as providing a fun, competitive way to recite it each week among their friends. The impact of quizzing does not stop at the quizzer, as many quizzers actively serve in ministries inside and outside the church. We believe the impact that Bible quizzing has in their lives will go on forever because of the power there is in the Word of God and its transforming power in the lives of individuals. I came across a stat a number of years ago. I want to read this for you. Statistics reveal that of those who spend at least 3 consecutive years in Bible quizzing program, 90% never leave the church. 90%. And of the 10% that leave, 70% of them come back. Why in the world, as parents, you know, it was mandatory for my kids to take piano and be in Bible quizzing. They had to be in Bible. They might not have to be at the top, but they had to be systematically memorizing God's Word. And you know, as Christian parents, if we want our kids, and there isn't a Christian parent here today that isn't concerned, if some of you, even this weekend, have shared with me your kids aren't living for the Lord and you're concerned about your grandparents, I'm telling you, there isn't a parent here that wouldn't love to be able to say that all my children are living for God. And my grandchildren, they're raising them to live for God. And this stat alone tells me, because the normal stat is that 80% of the young people in our churches leave the church never to return. I'm not talking about the kids we reach. I'm talking about the kids, the evangelical Christian families in our churches. 80% of that next generation leave the church. We have to get serious. Charlene talked about it, the power of God's Word, and I believe it is the power of God's Word that is keeping these young people and these children. It's the power of His Word, and we have watered it down. And probably the best way we've done it is by removing it. We have tended to say memorizing is good for children, but instead of, you know, we tend to memorize less than memorizing more. I hide your Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have to take Bible memorization seriously in every aspect of all our ministries. We encourage the young people, Christian or not, we want you to memorize God's Word because we believe in the power of God's Word. We need to get back to that. I guess as I close, I want to share with you one more thing that's been happening. It's the Bible Project. For years we were buying this Bible, actually, it's a hardcover Bible. We were getting it for $12.50, and they were shipping it to our door. So we would just pass this on to churches at cost. The one thing about this Bible, though, it said early readers on it. And, you know, if you're in grade 6 and getting a Bible like this and it says early reader on it, that could be a little bit of an issue. But the Bible is awesome. It's larger font. It's got about 150 pages of things that, you know, maps and interesting things about the Bible. For children. Just an awesome Bible. So I contacted Thomas Nelson and I said, you know, we would We were wondering whether it would be possible to take this Bible and include some extra pages in it with the hide them in your heart verses, key verses, John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, blow them up into larger font and make them prominent and change the cover on the Bible. They said, I think you could do that. They said, I'll get back to you. They did get back to me, and they told me that I would have to order 5,000 Bibles, and that the Bibles would be $11 a piece. Well, you can do math. That was $55,000. I says, well, that's no problem. So we decided to launch the Bible Project. It's been less than a year. But we have already had $52,000 of the $55,000 come in for these Bibles. And on Saturday, we had a board meeting, and we are going to trust God for the remaining amount of that money. And I will be talking to Thomas Nelson this week about we're ready to go. We got to get these Bibles so we can get them in the hands of the children. We have to. And we're thankful for everybody that's had a part in that Bible project. And somebody after the first service said, you didn't say anything about your family. And as I close, life sometimes gets very busy. It probably doesn't matter whether you're farming or in business or whatever you do or you're in ministry. Life gets busy. And we are very thankful for our family. We have 6 kids. 3 are married. 3 are still at home. A number of years ago, I had a bakery in the Golden Mile. Some of you would remember that. I haven't baked a thing since. But Shay, our son at the time, he was about 15, he got his hand caught between 2 steel rollers in the bakery. I was actually had to run home to get an order. I was about 5 minutes from the bakery. I came back, and Sheena, while I was there, Sheena phoned. She says, Shay's got his hand in the sheeter. I tore back to the bakery. And Shay stood there with us. And he says, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry. The doctor said what he had done was deglove his hand. He'd ripped the skin from his flesh. The doctor said that they probably would not have normal use of this hand. And I remember, we took Shay to the doctor, and I came back to the bakery and I went into the steam box. It was a steel box where we put the racks in to raise the bread and buns. And I went in there. It was the only place in the bakery I knew I could have a little chat with God. And I went in there. And I said, God, I says, please, you can do whatever you need to do to me. Whatever it takes to make me the man that you want me to be. But please spare my kids. It's a crazy thing as a parent. You don't want any harm to come. But I have realized that God allows those things just as He allowed things in my life to make me the man that He wants me to be. He is allowing things in my kids' lives to help them become the men and women that He wants them to be. And this past, just before the summer started, Levi got dreadfully sick. He was in the hospital for 10 days. They didn't know what was wrong with him. And by the end, they ended up diagnosing him with Crohn's disease. Levi has a heart for God. Levi has been all over the place. He actually just got back from Texas. He taught the children at a family camp down there. Had 150 kids. There was about 1,200 people at this family camp. And now he's dealing with this. And again, I'm thinking back, please, God. Do whatever you have to. As parents, you'd say, I'd rather be the one. But I realize again that God is using these things to mold our children, to help them become everything that God wants them to be. I have a prayer card out there, and we would appreciate your prayers for this ministry and for our family. I think oftentimes when you're in ministry, you know, you feel like you're on the front lines and somebody's going to get you for sure. And yet there is no better place to be than doing what God has asked and called you to do, and to be doing it with all your heart. And so this morning, as I close, I trust you have been encouraged, not so much even in this ministry, although I've tried to share with you and give you a picture of what's been happening. But we serve an awesome God. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. There is nothing that He cannot do. We need to be committed to doing whatever He asks us to do. And when we do that, and we give Him all the honor and all the glory, He will continue to do amazing things as we make ourselves available to fulfill that commission in our own lives. And I want to thank you for your part. And Faith Baptist and Pastor Gene, you have been an absolute blessing to this ministry. And it is an absolute privilege for me to be here today. I just wish my family could be here. But thank you again for all you've done. God bless all of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate your words and the ministry of CEF. When we talk about children's ministry, quite often a verse that is referred to is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. I want to share that with you in closing here today. It says, "But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them.'" In other words, don't restrict them. Don't hold them back. Let them come. And so often when we talk about children's ministry, we think about this verse and the fact that we need to let the children come. But as we think about that, I want to have you focus your attention one verse back in that same passage. It says in verse 13, it says, "The little children were brought to him." And to me, this passage is saying more than let the children come. It's saying bring them. It's a responsibility we have to bring the children to Jesus Christ. Will you do your part? I believe God is saying to you, bring the children. Bring them. Open up your home to a 5-day club. Join the prayer band. Pray for them. Billet a child, a young person. So many things that we can do just in this one ministry. And it's not all about CEF. This morning it is. That's our focus. But all these ministries that we have within Regina and within Faith Baptist Church. Jerry expressed the fact that we lack laborers. That's a shame. That should never happen. My question for you this morning, as God is speaking to your heart this morning, right now, about being involved in ministry, whether it be with CEF or some other ministry, will you say yes? Yes, Lord, I will be obedient. Let's stand together and close in a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for CEF, for Jerry and his leadership there. Thank you for the ministry it's had. Lord, we praise your name for the 633 children who now know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And yet, Lord, we pray for the thousands and thousands of children who have never heard. Lord, use us to reach into their lives. Lord, I pray that you'd just start a revival in each one of us and that we would just have a fire and a passion for your word and for the gospel and for reaching the lost. That, Lord, we truly might see our nation change. We'd see our world change. Lord, give us courage to do that which you've called us to do. And as we respond in obedience to your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding, we'll be faithful to give you the praise and the glory for all that you accomplish in our life, because you are a great God, worthy of our praise. We praise you today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Remind you that this evening we will be having our evening Bible study. We're going to go by video back to the Holy Land and looking at video with all your heart. So I encourage you to come tonight, come with a blessing to share, and think about a favorite hymn. We like to sing some hymns tonight as well. Cherith, have you got something you want to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just really burdened for our project for missions and hearing Jerry. He needs 3,000. We've got a goal of 12,000. We've only got 3,500. But if we got this, we could meet that need, because we were going to give a quarter to each of the missionaries, so it would be 3,000. So think about what God would have you do in giving for missions.